from fivedoves.com and pastorbobreed.com/allroads. All Roads Lead to Rome, Part 11. Quote, "All doves. Today, England and the United States are really owned by Rome. In this post, I will give the short version first, and the next time, the more detailed story and facts. I have been a student of history from my time in the U.S. Army in West Germany during the late 1950s. When I transferred to a Christian college in 1965 as a pre-ministry student, I majored in history. One of my majors in seminary was church history. History is an academic orphan discipline in America's schools today. By that I am saying it isn't a requirement in most liberal arts colleges or state universities. It hasn't been since the early 1970s. Much of what you know about history isn't true. High school history is largely a joke as well. People seem to think history is of little value, however. People seem to think history is of little value. However, I would totally disagree. What I have been sharing in this series of posts is highly relevant to us in light of the fact we have an interest in the Bible. Bible prophecy is simply history being told in advance. Thus, history is central to a biblical worldview. Even the word history is his story about Jesus Christ. Even that little-known fact is indicative of how the world has removed the Lord from our classrooms. In this post, I will explain how we lost our freedom. What we think of as freedom is nothing more than an illusion. In the weeks ahead, the nation will come full center to face that fact. President Obama signed executive orders in the past few months that will make it mandatory for all citizens to be forced to receive vaccines and microchips. It came in the form of executive orders or presidential directives. These are polite terms for dictatorial power. The short version of our loss of freedom came with the Treaty of 1871. During the U.S. Civil War, the North borrowed $40 million from the Vatican, and the Confederacy borrowed $20 million from the Vatican. The sum was paid out in gold to both the North and South. The North got delivery of their gold by ship in Pennsylvania. The South got delivery of their gold by ship in New Orleans. After the Civil War was over, all $60 million of the loaned gold became a debt due for repayment to the Vatican. The Vatican would accept only gold or land in payment for this debt. President Lincoln tried to pay off this debt with U.S. paper money, U.S. Treasury notes, to pay back the loan. Adolf Hitler tried the same thing with the German Deutschmark to comply with the Treaty of Versailles following World War I. The Pope issued an order to the Vatican spies in the Confederacy under the name of the Knights of the Golden Circle, whom Brigadier General Albert Pike was a member, along with John Wilkes Booth and George Surratt Jr., to assassinate President Lincoln for trying to print his way out of debt instead of paying in land or gold. You might not know this fact, but following the assassination of President Lincoln, the U.S. Congress broke diplomatic relations with the Vatican in 1967. Not until President Ronald Reagan's inauguration on January 10, 1984, announced that a full diplomatic relations between the U.S. and the Vatican had been established and the 1867 law was repealed. President Ronald Reagan is another enigma that the American people are in the dark about. He's the first president to face the Washington Monument obelisk for his inaugural event. This is highly symbolic and of great significance. This debt got put off temporarily under President Johnson because Congress did not approve it. It had to wait until congressional elections replaced opponents and new members of Congress were bribed into office by the Vatican that Congress and President Ulysses S. Grant signed the Generic Act of 1871, which gave the 10-mile square of land that we know as Washington, D.C., to the Vatican as payment for the entire $60 million in debt from the U.S. Civil War. There is much more in this piece of history for which barely handfuls of historians fully know all the details. But I would like to take the reader back to my neighboring state congressman, James Traficant, Jr. of Youngstown, Ohio, where he served 7 terms as the congressman of the Northeast Ohio Mahoning Valley. The bankruptcy of the USA is actually part of the congressional record of March 17, 1993, Volume 33, page H1303. Every citizen should read it and understand its significance. I would encourage each of you to take the time and search out on the internet Congressman James Traficant's famous speech. I have heard it dozens of times, replayed on the internet, as well as the full text of his short speech. It's widely reposted many times on the internet. I wrote him several times when he was in federal prison. You can't begin to understand or comprehend how enslaved we are until you study that speech and grasp its significance. James Traficant violated a house secret of our Congress. You see, until Congressman Traficant read that speech, virtually no one in America knew that we were bankrupt. If you thought our national debt was our future downfall as a nation, you were far afield of the truth. James Traficant told the House on the House floor that we do no longer have a country since we declared bankruptcy. The members of the Congress are official trustees presiding over the greater reorganization of any bankrupt entity in world history. In this case, the U.S. government. While many in 1930 thought they were setting forth a blueprint for our future, there were others who said it was, who said at that time it was a coroner's report that will lead to our demise. It is an established fact that the United States federal government has been dissolved by the Emergency Banking Act, March 9, 1933, 48 Stat 1, Public Law 89 through 719, declared by President Roosevelt being bankrupt and insolvent, H.R. 192, 73rd Congress in session, June 5, 1933, joint resolution to suspend the gold standard and abrogate the gold clause, dissolved the sovereign authority of the United States and the official capacities of the United States government offices, officers, and departments, and is further evidence that the United States federal government exists today in name only. The receivers of the United States bankruptcy are the international bankers, Rothschilds, Jesuits, Vatican, via the United Nations, the World Bank, and the International Monetary Fund. All U.S. offices, officers, and departments are now operating within a de facto status in name only under emergency war powers. With the Constitutional Republic form of government now dissolved, the receivers of the bankruptcy adopted a new form of democracy, being an established socialist communist order under a new governor of America. The act was instituted and established by transferring and or placing the office of the Treasury, the office of the Secretary of the Treasury, to that of the governor of the International Monetary Fund, Public Law 94 through 564, page 8, section H.R. 13955, reads in part, "The U.S. Secretary of Treasury receives no compensation for representing the United States," unquote. By the Act of 1871, the United States of America became the United States Corporation. It is the United States Corporation that owns the U.S. military and everything else that comes under the terms federal. This includes the Federal Reserve, the Central Bank of the United States, which is in reality a private bank owned by controlling stockholders, and the controllers of the U.S. Corporation that are not even American. This is the bank from which the United States Corporation borrow money that is repaid with interest by the unknowing American taxpayers. The Federal Reserve was manipulated into being in December of 1913. The Federal Reserve was manipulated into being in December of 1913, when most of the legislators had left Washington, D.C. for their Christmas vacation with families. The Federal Reserve dictates the U.S. interest rate that impacts the world as a whole, and not just American citizens. The United States Corporation is owned by families and forces in Europe, made up of Europe's black nobility of families and the vested shareholders of the Rothschild-controlled owned banks, the Vatican, the Jesuits. Mark Twain once said, "The trouble with people isn't their ignorance, it's the number of things they know that just ain't so." To control the people, it is essential to keep them ignorant. The best way to keep them ignorant is to give them a degree of knowledge as if it were the whole truth. Pile upon their minds and thoughts a mass of education, but leave out those aspects of reality that would give them a grasp of the whole truth. We live in a matrix. Of that there is no doubt. It has been said that the best slave is the one who believes he is free. As a pastor, of all that I have learned over my lifetime has convinced me that virtually all politicians are either psychopaths or sociopaths. Those that don't qualify are so few in number that they are insignificant in the larger picture of history. It might have been better over the years if we had voted out of office all incumbents, good or bad, each time Election Day rolled around. While Congressman James Traficant was no saint, he was brutally honest. The sad thing is that the public has let themselves be so dumbed down by the system that they could not spot the importance of what he had to say on that day, on March 17th of 1993. Americans as a whole are gullible by believing in the two-party system, which are merely two flavors of the same ice cream. Remember the Hegelian dialectic: thesis, antithesis, synthesis. There is another aspect of this National Bankruptcy Act that affects you, but you do not know it. Registration of birth certificates began in 1915. All birth certificates issued since 1933 have been issued as collateral by the Bureau of Census, with all states adopting the practice by 1933, against the national debt. Birth certificates have an ascribed value that is based on the idea that every individual will earn that amount, or approximately there, about, in their working lifetime, and thus be taxable citizens. Originally, the value of birth certificates were pegged at $600,000. Then it was increased to $750,000. Today, that amount is estimated to be between $1 and $2 million per birth certificate. Birth and marriage certificates are a form of securities called warehouse receipts. The terms included on a warehouse receipts. The items include a warehouse receipt, as described at Section 7-202 of the Uniform Commercial Code, the law which governs commercial paper and transactions, which parallel a birth or marriage certificates, are the location of the warehouse where the goods are stored, residence, the date of issue of the receipt, date issued, the consecutive number of the receipt, found on the back or front of the certificate, usually in red numbers, a description of the goods or of the packages containing them, name, sex, date of birth, etc., the signature of the warehouseman, which may be made by his authorized agent, municipal clerk, or state's registrar, signature. Birth, marriage certificates now appear to at least qualify as warehouse receipts, collateral, under the Uniform Commercial Code. Black's Law Dictionary, 7th edition, defines warehouse receipts as, quote, "A warehouse receipt, which is considered a document of title, may be a negotiable instrument and is often used for financing with inventory as security," unquote. This should not shock you, because governmental assignment of a dollar value to the heads of citizens began on July 14, 1862, when President Lincoln offered 6% interest-bearing bonds to states who freed their slaves on a per-head basis. This practice of valuating human cattle continues today. This practice of valuing human cattle continues today with our current system of debt-based currency reliant upon a steady stream of fresh new chattels to back it each year. This fact is instrumental in you understanding President Obama's drive to legalize illegal aliens, to grant citizenship to 5, 10, 20, or even 30 million illegal aliens, is to increase the credit borrowing capacity with the Federal Reserve and to prolong the inevitable. Ohio Congressman and Speaker of the House John Boehner last week called for amnesty for all illegal aliens. The Speaker of the House is a Jesuit-trained coadjutor of Xavier University in Cincinnati, Ohio. Why do you suppose a Republican Speaker of the House would call for amnesty for all illegal aliens? Could it be they are mostly Roman Catholic from Mexico and other Latin American countries? The bottom line of this point is that you and I are human collateral for the national debt. The copy of your birth certificate given to your parents is considered the short-form copy provided by your delivery physician, hospital. It does contain the number. However, your long-form birth certificate was forwarded to your state of birth. That difference became out in the open with the birthers seeking to have President Obama disqualified as a legal natural-born citizen. Jerome Corsi's book, Where's the Birth Certificate? Dr. Corsi's book proved that Obama's birth certificate had been photoshopped. Ultimately, all U.S. citizens' birth certificates are shipped to the U.S. Department of Commerce. Personally, I don't find it very comforting to know that I have been pledged as collateral on the U.S. national debt. Bibliography. Rather than repeating the bibliography, I have not added anything new since Part 9 and 10. God bless, Pastor Bob. Unquote.